5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome.
Oh, that was good.
To Flowing with Famous, your all Fresno podcast. I am Joshua Teehee, aka Famous Whitewater, and with me, as always, Mike C of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Josh.
We're in studio today.
In studio.
That's an odd thing to have happen, but I'm happy to be here to talk about Fresno. It is April.
I always love to find a studio to talk about Fresno in.
Right, right. So, it is April, and that means the summer is upon us. The summer will be upon us. It's been pretty nice.
Yeah.
The last little bit. So there was the rain.
It was like one full day of rain, and I almost lost it. It was just one day, and I was just like, this is too much.
It was a crazy day, though.
It was.
To be fair. Yeah. It was.
And it was like all night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was insane.
I work in the rain, so it's like more annoying for me.
Right.
Otherwise, I'd be like, yeah, cool. Yay. But I'm just like, this is going to suck. It was just one day. And then afterwards, a day after, I'm like, man, I really kind of. I need to go that crazy about one day, right?
Well, you know, you can. You probably went as crazy as other people did. People were freaking out.
Because people will always pull out that, I like the sun. I like rain breaks for sure, but, I like it sunny. And, people pull out that, well, it's better than 115 degrees in summer.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait. It doesn't get to 115. It's not like our regular, it gets to 115 all summer long. Let's not get crazy about the heat.
It's like 115 isn't the norm.
That's like a record
day. But it does get to 100 for like multiple.
Yeah, sure.
There will be a month where it will be triple
August
digits.
Is rough. I'm not going to lie.
So let's talk about some things that happened since our last podcast, and then we'll get into some things that are...
Got to run down the Fresias Fest.
Got to do it.
We were there. Everyone else was there.
Everyone. Literally. Like, 5,000 more people than they expected to show.
12,000, 13,000 people?
12,000, I think, is the official number, somewhere around there. And they were expecting,
for some food trucks and beer and music.
Weird. Downtown. I think so. Mike Oz said that they were expecting, he was expecting like 8,500. If they got to 10,000, he would have been happy. 12,000 people showed up. It was so a lot of people were complaining afterwards, as they want to do, because it's Fresno and for some reason we got to shit on everything, even good things.
Yeah.
About the lines and how terrible the line. We were waiting in line all day. Blah, blah, blah. I was there all day. I got there early, 1 o'clock, a little after 1 o'clock. I stayed till 8:30-ish. Longest line I stood in was to get into the actual event.
Yeah.
And it was less than 5 minutes.
Right.
I walked into the event. Now,
same.
Look, I played it smart because I've been to the event in the past. I knew kind of what the deal was, so I got there early. And once I got in, I just sort of stayed in, and then I, stayed late. I got my beer early in the day. I got several beers throughout the day, so it wasn't like it was just at one time. I didn't have a problem with the line at all. I got food. I walked right up to whatever the pizza pit food truck. Went right there and got my pizza. Didn't have to really wait. I think that even it was like I just got a pepperoni slice, personal pepperoni, whatever. It was like they just handed it to
Easy
me.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. So some people waited in line forever for the Chicken Shack.
Oh,
food truck.
I didn't even bother.
Oh yeah, no Chicken Shack. That was the one that everyone was waiting in line for. Beer lines were horrible, depending on who you ask. But most people were like, "Oh my god, the beer lines were terrible."
No, like you're. For some reason, people weren't getting that there were many places to get beer, and they were in the main line at Tioga up at the tap room,
right?
And there was right just outside where the band was. They had a full setup of most of the beers that they carried.
Right.
I walked right up.
There were several can only stations.
I mean, yeah.
And I know Jeffrey Whitaker is going to, our listener here is going to be mad because he was trying to get into the can. They had a can bar.
Uh-huh.
And he said the lines were terrible. So huh. when he was there. I didn't experience well,
I
that
didn't
myself.
Go,
so.
Like, yeah, I wasn't there. I was,
and there were several.
I left at four, so I can't speak to what well, happened after four. But
it did get kind of crazy toward the end of the night. But again, if you're someone who has been to the event before, you just know that's going to happen and you plan accordingly. So you're like, I'm done. If you want to drink later in the evening, what you do is you just leave there and go down to Los Ponchos or, mm-hmm. you know, Hot PK or mm-hmm. wherever.
I wonder how and bad Hop... Did you hear how bad know. Hot PK was
I don't
day?
Know. I don't know. I have not heard. But it was... I had a really good time. I think it's yeah. it is my favorite event in town. I like a lot of things about it. I like Tioga Sequoia. I think the vibe that they have created with that event is really cool. I think the bands and the way that they go about booking the bands is really awesome, you know? So it's all local bands. It's a range in terms of the age of the bands and the style of music. It kind of skews older because they know kind of what they're looking for, mm-hmm. Or the organizers do. So, yeah. you know, there were a couple of young bands. Sharks of Dance was there. Sparkle Jet, The Box. But I overall, I mean, I thought it was really good. Gang's Back, I thought was really pretty awesome. Lots of people really dug that band.
Was there, did you discern, because you're a good judge of the crowd.
Yes.
Did you discern from the people watching Gang's Back that like, oh, these people know. Like, I had never heard, I should have heard of them.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of them. So I was very curious on how, like, if there was a core group of people who were like, man, I remember this. Like,
yes.
I'm here because Gang's Back.
Yes. So, and I know this for two reasons. One was just being there and seeing the amount of people watching them as they were moving through the crowd. Mm-hmm. Two is just talking to lots of people and getting lots of emails. So I did an interview with the band leader. His name is Fresno Cruz.
What?
Fresno Cruz.
Did
also,
he change his name?
No, that's his name. Fresno
what?
Cruz. Also related to Mike Cruz of Tioga Sequoia fame. So that's sort of how that whole thing came together. I think that they had been wanting, the band had been wanting to do something,
mm-hmm.
and Mike saw this opportunity, and so he's like, oh yeah, you guys should totally come. I think it's his uncle or something. So anyway, Fresno Cruz, I talked to him, did an interview, and so many people, emails, calls, they wanted to know the question, like, above anything else was, when's Gang's Back
tonight? Yeah, when's their set time?
So I knew there were a lot of people there that were just there to see them. And I don't know if it cleared out some after they played or not, because I watched maybe half the set and then I left a little more than half the set. But it was really good. I think they did, you know, I'm excited to see what's going to happen next year, because next year there's going to be some, I think that area of downtown is going to look completely different. And so they're going to have to figure out something else. Because right now, you know, they took over the strip along Fulton there, and then they expanded into the adjacent parking lot.
Yeah.
But that parking lot is going to be
right. It's going to be
under construction next year. And then there's going to be, you know, I think some other operators, breweries and whatnot, yeah. open
Zach's,
along that.
Zach's Brewing, knock on wood, will be open.
Along that little strip there. So they might have to do something else, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, to me, Terrence Frazier has that Broadway Event Center, I think it's called, which actually,
like, one street over.
Yeah,
or whatever.
And they actually had an event going on that night.
Really?
With somebody.
I did notice.
I think it's the person from Shameless. No, not Shameless.
What? I would be
no,
there.
No, it's not Shameless. But it's another. I think it's a Showtime series. Anyway,
if it's
it's not. It wasn't Shameless.
Oh, okay.
But
if it was Shameless or
yeah, I can't. Oh. I feel dumb now because
is it anyway, comedy or drama?
It is a dramedy.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say if it's somebody from Homeland, I'll be there too.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Anyway, so they had an event. My point being, I think that at some point, you know, they're just gonna they might just have to get everyone involved and just that whole
yeah
that
they'll
whole
have to, like,
block,
turn it,
you know,
instead of like. Well, obviously,
a whole
yeah,
block
Fulton,
party.
But like, yeah, the street out in front of the brewery
yeah.
itself.
All the way, you know, take it all the way down to 8th Street or whatever.
Just all that whole, yeah the whole Inyo in front of the, in between the stadium and the brewery.
Yeah.
That whole street all the way to the parking lot.
The
for
whole
the
strip.
The stadium
yeah.
parking lot.
Why not? Yeah. And all the way down the other way to Van Ness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, sure. They still got to have a place for
yeah to
that
walk
parking
in.
Lot is
you
right
can't
there.
Have it right up.
Anyway,
the
point being, you know, they could they're gonna have to do something.
Yeah, and the back yeah, but well, Pep Boys might be like you can't
yeah.
fucking shut off our street in
that
front of Pep
true.
Boys.
That is true. They'll be they'll figure something out. I'm sure. I'm sure they already have plans. So along this same line, there's something really interesting that came out of something else interesting that came out of Fresh Yes. That was happening kind of behind the scenes to get ready for it. And I don't think anyone even knew. And this was a restriction, I guess, that the city has for food trucks that I had no idea that they had put in place. And I guess back in 2003-ish, well, once upon a time in Fresno, there were no food
yes.
trucks. Right, I mean, there were some. There were
taco
trucks, maybe, but there weren't really food trucks. What there were was ice cream trucks that would drive around neighborhoods.
And taco trucks,
and the ice cream
the lunch trucks that would go to construction sites, those kind of things.
And the ice cream trucks may or may not have been selling drugs out of them, some of the ice cream trucks. Okay, so the city.
Is that real?
This is what the city's saying. In their wisdom at the time, and I don't really know because I don't remember this, you know, like no one was ever thinking about food trucks back in 2003, right? I mean, really?
No.
Okay.
Maybe in Portland.
Right. So the city in its wisdom decided they needed to put some restrictions. So if you wanted to be a food truck operating, you had you had to put a bond up, a $500 bond, and then you had to get live scanned. You had to get scanned, like a background check through the Department of Justice to be able to do it. And I think the idea was, you know, they're thinking
be
like
a drug dealer.
Well, because ice cream trucks
yeah,
are dealing with kids and
right.
neighborhoods. Okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Makes
so apparently
sense.
they did this. It passed, whatever, and it's been on the books the whole time, and just. I guess nobody
paid attention
to it. For some reason, they decided to pay attention to it for Fresh Yes Fest. Mm. So all of these food trucks suddenly were being tasked with coming up with $500 on the spot, and then you know whatever the $65 to get the live, and it was for every person that was going to be on the food, you know,
right.
So if you had three or anyone handling money or something, anyway, it was some. So it was kind of cost prohibitive for a lot of the food trucks. And I guess the city was, you know, I think Mike Oz was really working behind the scenes to kind of figure it out. And the city was letting people, you know, pay part of the money and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, this all happened. And then afterwards, like some of the food trucks were complaining and the Fresno Bee did a story. And between the story and Mike Oz and everything that was happening, the city decides like, hey, we're gonna step back from this. We're gonna refund money to everyone who's paid that bond or whatever, and we're just gonna pretend that this whole thing never happened or whatever. So it was a pretty interesting kind of thing.
Yeah.
I totally understand. Why that might have been a thing for them, for the city to do at the time, right? Because, you know, you deal with the problems in front of you, and they probably weren't ever thinking like, oh yeah, we're going to have these giant food truck events.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is you have this on the books. It's been on since 2003. Somewhere along the way, someone forgot about it. Okay, that's fine. Like, you know, that... How did it pop up? Was it like, I bet like somebody, it was like somebody new in the office and they were like reading their booklet and they're like, oh,
no,
look at this.
Have all these food trucks
been bonded?
Done the thing?
But it's interesting because, you know, Cart Hop happened. There was a big push, remember, like, because there was, the city had to go, the food trucks had to go through a big process just to be able to serve, right?
I mean, if
I'm remembering correctly.
I remember some brick and mortars.
Right, we're really,
which understand, yeah, yeah. I understand the brick and mortars too, being like, this is messed up. This some dude that cooking stuff on his truck
even
could just pull up next door to my restaurant.
Even though some people say it's harder to run a food truck than it is to run a brick and mortar.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I bet they should, whatever the brick and mortars have to do, the food truck should have to do at least.
But so, yeah. So it's odd to me that in the entirety of food trucks in Fresno, no one figured this out until now. A, that it was happening. Mm-hmm. Or B, that it might be a problem. But the city did what it needed to do and really, I think, like, stepped up and said, hey, you know, we made this mistake. We're going to refund the money, and there it is. But it's interesting because they could have done that before the event happened, because I think there was a lot of, like, back and forth before the event, because there were a lot of food trucks that were like, yeah, we're not going to be able to do this. And so the organizers are like, ah, we got to have these food trucks. This is, like, a big part of what we're doing. I don't know. And it's interesting because it's like, okay, is it because this was a public event open to the public that the city was, you know, that it was a one-time event because, you know, Gazebo Gardens has trucks.
Right.
Other places have, so.
Every weekend.
Yeah. Anyway, it's all taken care of now.
Gazebo Gardens has like a mini version of the Fresias Fest every weekend.
Every weekend, yeah, that's true. But it's all taken care of now. We're good.
Cool.
Yeah. So
yeah, the mayor said, don't worry about it.
Yeah, the mayor was like, no, we got you guys. We got you, food trucks. We got you, food trucks. We know you're bringing a bunch of money downtown.
That downtown action. Sweet downtown. It was a good event, though.
It was a good event. I had a lot of fun, and definitely, it's my favorite event. I will say it's my favorite annual event in Fresno. I really look forward to it. So. Did you see, maybe it was Heather McLean?
Mm-hmm.
I think she did a review.
Fresias. She did the best post before.
The pre-post. Yeah.
Pre-post.
She did a great pre-post.
Had everything you needed to
I think
know.
She did an after post and made the point, you know, it's a great place to see people that you really like enjoy, but don't ever run into otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to see, like, she was there. We ran and we had a chat. I had a chat with a lot of people who, normally I don't see either because they're not out and about a lot or I'm not out and about a lot.
Or you're just
so it was
busy,
nice.
Bro.
Right. So you just get to see people that you normally wouldn't. And it's a great experience. And the music was great. Good vibes, whole deal. They did a really good job.
I definitely recommend early, unless you don't care.
Yes, so,
I was so, like, I got there at 1:30, think it started at 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 12. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, it'll be mellow. It was already completely engulfed.
It was
and
crazy.
Just like, on.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
just in.
Right.
And, like, if people have been out there for hours or something. I was like, what the hell?
How did
I'm here
happen?
Early.
Right. There were more people there when I arrived than I thought were going to be. And I got there right around 1. So, yeah. So go early or go later, but just be okay with what's happening.
Just know it's going
to
be.
Yeah. You might need to pregame.
It's going to be crazy fun.
Uber and then Uber down there, Lyft down
bike
there, pregame.
Them.
Bike. Down
I
there.
Pay. By the, yeah. We can shift to this downtown parking talk.
Okay.
Because before it, there was all this, you know, pregame talk about.
Right.
And all this talk we have every month we talk about downtown parking.
I mean, yeah.
And, you know, we're on the side of, hey, it's a city.
It's a city.
You're going to pay right. for, what city yep, yep. can you name that doesn't have pay?
I mean, I can name
downtown.
A few, but.
Really? Like, as big or bigger than Fresno?
Oh, no.
Yeah, come on. I mean, Clovis.
Right, right. That, I would Clovis myself.
Clovis people would, they would lose their minds if you had to, if they put parking meters in.
What's really funny,
Clovis.
Though, is the other day, one of the reporter, a fellow reporter at the Beat had to go to Clovis. And he was like, parking sucks out there.
It does.
And I laughed and I was like, "What? That's free parking, huh?" And he's like, yeah. He's like, but you can't park anywhere. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, it's free, so, but you can't
it's
park.
It's free. Anyway, go on.
But yeah, so, yeah, and before I had, because you did a nice, you have a nice primer
yeah.
article that, like, probably an evergreen article now.
Yeah.
You can just post every once in a while about downtown parking.
So I saw that there was a lot of talk about downtown parking on For the Love of Downtown Facebook page, which is like, it's a gold mine if you're into downtown Fresno. Just camp out there because there's always crazy stuff happening and it's really fun. But there was a lot of downtown parking talk, and a lot of it revolved around just people not knowing about what like all of the rules and restrictions and exemptions and like whatever, because I think everyone knows that you got to pay for parking downtown. Yeah. Everyone thinks that the meters are crappy and you got to put coins in and like, you know, whatever. But then, you know, a lot of people were like, no, parking is free after 6 and on weekends. Mm-hmm. Okay, which is cool. Except.
Right. Except when there is an event.
Except when there's an event.
And I always
now,
wondered,
hold
like,
on, but
okay.
now the event even yes. is specific because it's an event at either
when you're
Sororian
you're near
Theater,
the event.
Blah, blah, blah. Sororian, I think it's yeah. Sororian Theater, Fresno Convention Center, Sound Arena, or the stadium. And it's around those areas. And uh-huh. there's supposed to be signs that will tell you. I have seen said signs before.
Right, I the have, orange
I have
signs.
Also gotten a ticket.
Event signs.
Because I parked not realizing that there was an event. Uh-huh. So anyway, I put together this primer that just kind of had some ideas for people about what the you know, kind of general rules and where you might look. So the City of Fresno, actually their website, if you go, I think it's, you know, fresno.gov/parking or whatever, has a lot of useful information on there that mm-hmm. that you can find. But it's really convoluted.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like kind of lawyer-y's.
Right. I mean, it's just, I wish that there was a really easy way just to figure it all out, you know. And so you can buy prepaid cards that work in the meters.
Uh-huh.
But you can only buy them at City Hall, okay? And then you can only refill them at City Hall.
See, that's annoying.
So I think,
I didn't see these meters that can do all the meters take a card like that?
That I don't know.
I
think most
coin.
Of them do, yeah, but they'll okay. have a little thing, and you'd be able to see them. Someday they're going to put smart meters at least on that Fulton corridor. They say. I don't know when that's going to happen, though. You know, I think there's two camps. You know, I think there's one camp that's like, we live in Fresno, we don't pay for parking. F you for even suggesting
yep.
that we would pay for parking. Because up in River Park,
I would go down there if I didn't have
right.
to pay.
Up in River Park, I don't got to pay for parking.
Yes.
Okay. So that's one camp. The other camp is, yeah, paying for parking is just part of what happens. It's the, you know, mm-hmm. we're a city. This is a big city. We're downtown urban core. This is how it works. But why does it got to be so complicated? You know, yeah. why do we have to, like, carry rolls of quarters in our pockets and or, you know, read 4 paragraphs of whatever to find out, like, oh, is today, you know, and I see that so many times. People get out and then they look at the meters. And then
you look around everybody else's meter. You're like,
right.
Oh, that one's expired. That one's expired.
So
must be okay.
I had this habit. I like told someone, you know, they're like, oh, they're looking at the meter. I was like, hey, I'm walking by, you know, I'm like, hey, you don't have to pay. It's free on weekends. And they looked at me
and
then they paid
money. And they're like, click, click, click.
And I was like, all right, well, fair enough. I mean, better safe than sorry. So, and you know, the other thing is, and not that I would want the City of Fresno to know this, but like they don't really patrol all of the areas of downtown the same way. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you are anywhere around P Street, the Galleria, you know, that whole area where there's a new coffee place down there, you will get a ticket.
The sushi place over there.
Yeah, you will get a ticket.
Oh, right? They're all about the gallery. Oh, yeah,
you will get a ticket.
All right. Remember that. Where you park around the gallery, pay.
PG&E is down there, all that area.
Uh-huh.
Right by the train station, by City Hall, all that.
Okay, yeah.
You will get a ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Mural District, little less. Chinatown, probably not. You know.
The parking enforcement people want to go through Chinatown. They're like, screw that. If you're brave enough to park in Chinatown, you get to.
I have gotten two tickets. One time was outside of Club One. I parked on the street outside of Club One.
Oh, man.
And got a ticket.
Yeah.
And the other time, and this one, my dentist is right on my dentist I haven't been to in a while, but.
Right on dentist.
He's Tuolumne and Van Ness. Okay. And so I parked there.
Josh,
on
come
the street.
On. You need a cleaning.
I put an hour in the meter, maybe a little more than an hour.
Not enough for a dentist.
I walked. No, it was fine.
That,
I walked.
That just
out.
Gets me into the dentist.
I walked
an hour.
Out as the person was writing me a ticket.
Oh, too
and
late.
They were like, "Oh,
once pen hits paper, it's over."
Well, they have it's automated now.
The digital.
They put it in. So I got a ticket. Anyway, that being said, you know. I wish I had some good advice to tell people.
Well, the question I got it all down for the most part. The only question I had was before, and I asked Mark Standiff, the city spokesman.
Who listens to the show.
He does?
Oh, yeah.
You talked to Mark?
Oh, yeah. He said, I can't remember.
What's up,
last
Mark?
Last time. We talked about some city thing. He was like, oh, yeah, I listened to the show. I said, oh, okay. Well, nice. He's like, no, you did. Yeah, you covered all the points. I was like, all right, good.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Hi, Mark.
Yeah, so they listen.
Come on anytime, Mark.
Oh, yeah, that's actually
a
good idea.
I still want to bring Ash Swearbear.
You
want to
bring Swearbear?
She lives in the neighborhood. I think I can get Swearbear over here.
That would be, you just catch her sometime and she's walking out through the neighborhood. Hey, come be on my podcast.
Yeah. Anyway,
so
but no, my one question was, so yes, weekends free, after six free, except for events.
Now
the soccer game happening, right. Which this new soccer team, big success,
right?
The Foxes,
right? And they're playing at the stadium
at Chicxulub. Great,
yeah,
great success,
yeah.
So they're having a game that day as Fresias Fest.
At the same day Fresias Fest.
Because there's nothing to do in Fresno.
Fresias Fest would not count as an event.
Right. Okay, yeah, it doesn't count.
From other
rules.
Right.
That wasn't confusing, but once the Foxes were playing at Chuck, then that's an event.
And
all right.
Your question is what time?
I was like, so say the game's at 7. We'll
7
say
p.m. It was at 7.
Okay.
Yeah. So you would be
Now, what time are you starting to enforce it?
Right.
That's the one thing I've never found out.
Right.
And Mark gave an answer that the website gives.
Okay.
Which was they start enforcing from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m.
Yep.
I think.
There you go.
And so technically, if I just come downtown at noon and there's a 7 o'clock Grizzly game, they can ticket me if they so desire.
Yes. Now, I also think, and I could be incorrect about this, but I think they don't have dudes driving around on Saturday afternoon.
Grizzly game, 7 o'clock
at
10 a.m.
at 8 o'clock in the morning ticketing. I just don't think they do. I could be wrong.
Yeah, don't come back at Josh with your tweet Josh with your ticket and say what's up, Josh.
But I, you know, I just.
How much
I
is a parking ticket, by the way?
$30.
Oh, okay.
Unless it went up, but $30, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you will be sending the check to San Jose.
And they
don't get confused by that.
And they don't tow. If you're just not paying your meter, they're not going to tow you. It's just ticket.
I think it's like a week or something. I don't know. It's on the website.
Because that's what I worry about.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No, I don't think they tow.
I don't want to pay a parking ticket, but. Right. Like, the thing I worry about is towing. That's what I get worried about.
So here's how I...
Because that's a pain in the ass.
I don't normally pay for parking downtown. I just park at a meter and I risk it. And here's how I justify it to myself. If I get a ticket at that $30, and it doesn't happen very often, I make up for it in all the times I park for free. You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm coming out ahead. I don't know if I am, but I feel like I'm coming out ahead. So, but don't do that. Don't be like me. Pay your meter. Go to the fourth floor of City Hall. You can buy a prepaid card.
That's a lot of work.
If you get the prepaid card, it's $40, $30 for 40 minutes or $40 for 30 minutes. I think it's $30. I think it's $30 for 40 minutes. Whatever the point is, however much it costs, you put the money on there, then you just have it forever.
Forever.
I mean, because you're not, you're probably not going to. There's also, you can pay $150 a month, and you can get like a little pass that allows you to
go anywhere you want.
Anywhere you want. So, okay. That's that. Downtown parking.
You're like city worker.
I would really like to hear from people.
At Joshua Tiki on Twitter.
About downtown parking, because I personally... I think you're people who go are like, oh, downtown is a problem, parking is a problem. I think it's stupid. I think parking downtown is not at all the problem. It is difficult. It's weird to figure out, like, whatever. But any place else on the planet people go to, they pay for parking and they don't even think about it. You know, you go to San Francisco, wherever, you'll pay for parking. It's no big deal. You'll pay a lot for parking. You go to see a concert at Save More Center, you pay for parking, and you don't care about it. There is a legitimate question as to whether there are things downtown worth paying parking for.
Yeah.
That being said, the things that I'm going to do are events, which I'm going to pay parking for anyway, right? I go to the Save More Center, I'm going to pay for parking. Or on the weekends, or after 6, when I don't have to pay for parking, so shut up.
Yeah.
I'm done.
What's up? Yeah. I think we need a music break.
Hold on. This whole thing started, by the way.
No!
Hold on. This whole thing started, by the way, because someone had they posted on For the Love of Downtown. They had a friend who worked downtown. They were going to meet said friend downtown after work for a drink. And they're like, hey, let's go to Hot PK. And then the person was like, I don't want to do that. They have meters. They were like, oh, well, there's a garage across the street. They just do the first hour for free. They're like, no. They ended up at Spokeasy. So there you go.
The Spokeasy.
I think. Or Goldstein's. I can't remember. All right, music break.
It's just we're not leaving. It's just the people that say, like, oh, well, I see on those groups all the time, well, if I didn't have to pay for parking,
right.
I go.
Right.
They get more. But I'm like, BS, you're just using it as an excuse to not go down there. Right. Don't tell me. Right. If you wanted to go down there.
You would go down there.
You just go down there.
Yeah, it's easy.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Not that hard.
People figure it out every day.
$2 of quarters or change.
Right. In their just meter. Get your little Ziploc full of
coins. Come on, man. You know you got it.
All right.
You know you're good for it.
Music break!
Music break. Band of the episode.
So this is an exciting one, kind of for me. Because I really dig. So Brandon Freeman, I don't know if you know him.
I know the name.
You definitely know
him. The Freemans famous musician families
around town. You've seen him around. He's played with a bunch of bands. Right now he plays in Cloudship, so he's the drummer singer in Cloudship, but he's played in a bunch of bands over the years.
And like Toto, drummer singer?
Yeah, like Toto. He's like Toto. I think he'll love that. Actually. So he has
Phil Collins.
He has a new project out called, I want to say it's Satoshi, but the S is a dollar sign.
Satoshi.
So maybe it's Atoshi with a doll. I don't know. Satoshi.
Satoshi.
And so he has a new song out, and it is produced by none other than Saha.
Ooh.
Yeah. So let's get a little bit of a... Ooh. Yeah, let's give a little bit of a listen to that.
You really want to know what I think about love. You really want to know what I think about us. You really with the fun I'm a sucker for love. Ooh, I'm a sucker for love. I'm a sucker for love. I'm a sucker for love.
Great musician, like I said, plays around town, does the whole cloud ship thing, and they are really awesome and just playing all over the place all the time. So really cool stuff.
Just one more thing about downtown. We'll go back to it.
Okay, let's go back down to downtown. We've done our music.
How big do you think this thing is? Because this happened right after our last episode. So it's been a
huge.
Little bit.
But
the it's huge. Wherever you go outside. Huge. FCC moving their offices downtown. To the old build, the old whatever. You're meh.
I heard a lot of people like, oh, this is the anchor that it needs. What the? Really?
Whoa.
I could see if they were putting classes in there. I could see if they were doing, if it was actually FCC moving part of their, it's just their business offices. Mm-hmm. It's another government office that's going to be downtown with people working 9 to 5 and then, you know.
It's good, but it's not like.
I mean, it's great in that this building will now be used. That's cool. I think that's awesome. It's great that they're putting their resources into this into downtown, and that's great, and it shows that that they're going to be there for a long time, and that's really awesome. It's not what we need down there for the type, you know, for what people are wanting, right? They're wanting like an entertainment district. They're wanting something that's a little more vibrant. This isn't that. So,
but it's more people.
It is more people. I mean, that's true. That's going to be however many. I can't remember the number of people they said they were going to be there. But, you know, there will be people there. But again, I mean, it's office stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the people that are going to be there Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And, you know, we have enough of that. We need some sort of, if for an anchor. We need an entertainment spot. We need a retail spot, you know? That's my own, you know, personal whatever.
Rawr.
But I do think, I mean, it was good. It was good news. It was big news. I think a lot of media were overplaying it in my book, I thought.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But happy to have them down.
Happy to have them.
Okay.
What was happening on during the Fresius Fest, it was the March for Our Lives was happening at the same time, and our Fresno's was at Fresno High, and big turnout, big group out there. I mean, at the same time, you have this huge group at Fresius Fest, you have this huge group at Fresno High. There was another big thing going on in town too, besides the soccer match. There's just a ton of stuff going on. Does anyone still say there's nothing to do?
There are people. Yes.
Oh, come on.
No, there are.
There's too much to do, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. I actually had this conversation with a friend of mine. He was like, "Oh, you going out on Saturday?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm totally going to be there." Blah 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 blah. He realized partway through that, like, "Oh, we weren't talking about the same event." He's like, "No, the March for Peace." I was like, "Oh no, I'm not coming." So
like, normally I would, but
or the March for Life, rather. March for Our Lives. So it happened out at
So it was a big turnout. So one of the groups from there, I don't know which group, I'm sorry, Peace Fresno, or just from the groups from March for Our Lives.
One of the groups that was involved in
this. Right, involved in this, basically asked Devin Nunez, like, can we have a town hall meeting during, I think they're asking during spring break.
Okay, which would make sense.
Yeah, like, and he was, Nunez wasn't responding at all to him.
And he doesn't respond.
And then 3 days later, he pops up on KMJ and then gives his response through KMJ.
That's how he, And that's always been his stance.
The, some of the Florida kids had to get involved in this.
Oh, yeah, Parkland.
The Parkland kids had to get involved to wake up Nunez to, like, respond, to force a response. And, of course, he had to go to KMJ to do that rather than just respond like a person.
Right.
But,
So the Parkland kids were tweeting them in or social media? Or
yeah, I believe so.
That's insane. So, you know, and I mean, I had been hearing about this. I haven't followed it as much from the Parkland thing. But, you know, that's, Devin Nunes has been pretty clear, I mean, about not wanting to do town halls. And I think, you know, his logic is, he has the biggest town hall there is on KMJ, and you can just call in, and then he can talk to you there. That's his.
Like, just listen to me on KMJ. Right. I'm not going to show
up. And you can call in, and you know, whatever. That's what he thinks. But it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting how he has been playing with his constituents here, and you know, he now has a. He has an opponent who has gotten a lot of press lately and has been, you know, making some moves. And I think a lot of it is because the way that Nunes has chosen to treat some of his constituents here, you know. And I don't know if you saw or if we talked about it. I think we did talk about it, the interview he did with the Bee. So we did talk about that. So, and in fact, Mother Jones magazine just did a really kind of in-depth article about back and forth between Nunes and the Bee, and how he sort of hates the Fresno Bee. There's some contention there, not on the Bee's part at all. The Bee's, you know, just doing
a story.
It's a newspaper doing a job. But Devin Nunes takes it as a personal affront, I think. That we would dare to write some stuff, and so Mother Jones really just goes into this whole thing about all of the things that have happened, and it's a really interesting article. The way they frame it, you know, might be questionable, because they sort of frame it like that Devin Nunes and the Bee hate each other, and that's not really the case, because the Bee doesn't hate Nunes. It's like, I mean, maybe they hate him in that, like, he's a difficult person to deal with,
right?
But there's
can't get a straight interview,
right? But there's no animosity there. But anyway, the article, and you can just go to Mother Jones and look it up. I find it really interesting, because I think it does a good job of laying out the landscape, the media landscape that's happening right now. You know, where a sitting member of the government can just, you know, call the major newspaper in his precinct or his constituents' major news source. You just call him a joke,
and just call
you know,
fake news, and
right,
then
and
just
say
go on
like,
KMJ.
You know, the people that work there, he feels sorry for them. And that kind of thing. And it's just like, that's totally normal, you know, work for them. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see in the next election what happens and whether or not this will stand.
Yeah.
Or whether people maybe are a little bit fed up with it and, you know, looking to do.
I always thought that. Maybe it's only during elections, campaign season or whatever, that if somebody's on a radio station for a certain amount of time, then you have to let the opposing person on as much time. They have to have equal
time. I don't thing.
Know. Doesn't seem like. I don't know. I don't listen to GMJ, but
yes.
I would think. I his think there's running mates would need to be on KMJ too. Then
I there are. I don't know. There are probably ways around it. I mean, obviously, if that's the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a non. Well, it depends, I guess, on when the election cycle begins. But yeah, when the election cycle begins, if they're both running, if they're running against each other, I think that probably is true.
You can't just have Nunez on whenever he feels like being on.
Right. But I could. I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question to ask. I will pose it to people who know more than
do
I
some
do.
Some of that journalism.
Yeah, that journalism.
Oh, well, speaking of radio.
Yeah.
I just stumbled upon, I had forgotten the KKDJ was back.
KKDJ.
And I just sort of stumbled upon it.
Is it
but
back?
It is, though. Because, well, sort of, it's coming back. Right. Like, I thought it would have been back by now.
I'll tell you
but the
But
I was,
whole
like,
story.
Cruising through the stations, like, old school, 70s style.
Yeah.
I hear the, like, this, it sounded like. The Fox.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was like, wait, this isn't the Fox. Like, not putting call, like, and it was 99.7.
Yeah.
And then it came on, and I was like, it was KKDJ. I was like, oh.
So there's a big story.
I forgot about that KKDJ.
There's a big story to this. So
Alex Cooper has a show on there.
Oh, really?
Alex Cooper does commercials on there.
Show. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he has a really good show. So, KKDJ, someone bought the call letters.
There's two stations.
To KKGJ and, you know, with the intent of bringing it back. So, and originally they were trying to get, I think his name's Dean Opperman, who was like the original KKDJ guy.
Yeah.
So like all the stuff that people like loved about KKGJ back in the day, it was like this guy. And so originally they were going to have this guy come back and be part of the new KKGJ station. Well, for whatever reason, that didn't happen. And there's actually been some back and forth. Like if you find Dean Opperman on Facebook, he's posted a couple of times because he started this KKDJ group on Facebook, right? Like, I can't remember what it's called, Bring Back KKG or whatever. And he started this, like, years ago. Because he's been trying for a long time, wanted to bring the station back. And so he created this Facebook group. Well, then the KKDJ people who, you know, got control of the call letters and
right.
all that
actually
and actually started bringing it back, they are trying like, you know, essentially saying, hey man, you can't be using KKDJ's Facebook page anymore, blah, blah blah, because, you know, he's sort of going out there and saying like, this isn't the real KKDJ, like, you know, this is, you know, they're trying to pull one over on you. So, and I can just read, I'll read one of these emails.
He comes up on Facebook, Dean Opperman, if you'd search.
So it says, this is a, I don't know. Anyway, it says, Dean, you were never offered a position at KKDJ as program director, never told to contact people and build a staff. We discussed but never offered, and others will tell you we had a meeting after meeting. We all stated that if you wanted to be part of KKDJ, we would share the business plan and talk more. You were on your own, went and talked to other broadcasters to try to do KKDJ, and then realized that the call letters were not available, the name was trademarked, and still you try, blah, blah. So there's this like back and forth, I think, that's happening, and I think there are people who... side with Dean and are just like, no, this is KKDJ, is this, you know, him and his crew. And then other people, I think, are just probably listening to the channel and being happy with it.
this feels like one of the 80s bands where the singer has one band and the guitarist has one band and they're battling for the name, like Rat. This is like, Rat went through this.
Yes.
Stephen Piercy had Rat, and then Warren DeMartini had a Rat, and they're going around the country, I'm Rat.
Right.
I'm Rat. You can't use Rat.
Great White had the same thing. It was like, blah, blah, blah's Great White or whatever. I think there were like three Great White bands playing yeah. all the time. Anyway, so Dean, we tried to work with you and you refused. You cannot use KKDJ logo lettering, call letters, etc., just as you could not make a Coca-Cola Facebook page and use their trademark. So I think they're upset because he has this Facebook page where he's right. using the
he's
old
like,
logo.
They're like, stuff. Hey, we technically own the stuff. And he's like, yeah, but I'm KMG, I'm KKDJ.
Right. I'm the guy.
I'm the guy, KKDJ. So. And they're like, yeah, well, we own, so be quiet.
So, yeah. Anyway, there it is.
Wow. But it's operating. What's funny is they
operating, yeah.
I guess there's two.
And they have some good stuff.
There's two
on
different call songs.
Yeah, I believe station. So. Yeah, yeah.
And I listen to 98.7. I don't know. It's the same, I guess. It's just two different signals. But like they play the voicemails. I mean, if you leave a voicemail for them and they just play it straight.
Oh. Okay.
And it's not like edited or anything. It's just like, yeah, so I like you guys, and I'm listening in my garage, and it's coming in pretty good.
I love it. That is great.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. You know, here, this makes me think of something that I saw that you posted about, and I think it's really cool, is this freaking Van Halen show from 1979
yeah,
that's like
famous show.
I'm reaching out to
the
guy
opened up their,
I want to know all about it.
Opened up their second tour.
They've opened up
Van
their
Halen
second tour in Fresno.
At Cellon Arena.
And some dude snuck in a camera
mm-hmm.
and audio equipment,
mm-hmm.
bootlegged the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's up on Facebook, and the audio became sort of popular.
Right. Famous. Like, yeah. I remember being a lifelong Van Halen fan and getting bootlegs. I found there was like this magazine.
Is it Fire in Fresno? Is that what it's called?
It might
on
be
on Fire in Fresno.
Yeah, yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah,
and I think there's more than one. But this is the...
I got locked into this black market of live shows back when that was bootleg shows
yeah,
were
yeah,
a thing,
yeah.
uh-huh, and uh-huh. they were hard to find. Yeah. And you went for so I had all these audio of bootleg Van Halen shows, and that was probably like top three most famous
right.
was that show.
And because it's good, right?
It sounds great.
It sounds,
and
yeah.
It was a really good show. And like at one point, apparently there was a big drug bust in Fresno that day. And it was like all over the news or something. And so Dave references it during the show.
Way.
If you listen to that
uh-huh,
show,
uh-huh.
he's like, man, I heard you guys are crazy, man. just talked about this drug
That's
bust
awesome.
And stuff. And, it was like, I mean, if you're a hardcore Van Halen fan, you probably know that you've heard
so
the show.
So I'm trying to track down the guy. I found his, he has a YouTube profile. He's put this up because I'm so interested in like how this even is possible in 90s, you know, because there was video footage that was like shot on 8mm mm-hmm. film. So the dude had to somehow sneak in.
Yeah.
A camera, some sort of audio recording equipment, and then get out with it. All you know.
Yeah.
So, I think it's and you know it happened in March. I think the show was the 25th or something.
Mm-hmm.
March 25th, 1979.
Yeah, that sounds
famous
right.
show.
It was on Van Halen News Desk, which is like the quintessential Van Halen nerd site.
Yeah.
And I reposted it on the Fresno Facebook.
That, yeah, that's where I saw
it. If you want to look through the Fresno Facebook
should look
feed,
through it.
You should be able to find
and
it.
And at some point, I will do a story about it because I
can't. Oh, yeah.
I can't.
I don't know that I've seen anyone do a story about it.
I had never even really heard about it. And it seems like one of those great. To me, it's a lot like that story about Roddy Piper and Bob Moore or whatever, like
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like running through the streets of Fresno, like beating people up at the whole Fresno Hop Route or whatever. It's like one of those awesome.
Like, no,
stories,
that didn't
so.
Really happen. It's like, oh,
yeah, no, it happened. Yeah,
I still haven't seen. Maybe somebody has done it, and I just haven't seen it. The whole because there's been this urban legend about Ron Howard.
Leaving his kids.
Leaving I believe his daughter. What's her name?
I don't know.
I forget her Bryce Dallas.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Bryce Dallas.
Yeah.
That when they were kids, he left Bryce Dallas at like the Starbucks there in front of Cost Plus.
Right, right. On a
trip to Yosemite, and they had to come back and get her. That's been the urban legend for a long time that I think it might be true. And I was somehow.
That's a great. You know what? I'm going to look that
up. I'll tweet him.
I'm going to
see what
he
says.
I'm going to look that. I'm going to try to get into that. That's going to be my new shtick at the Bee, are all these urban legend stories, and see if I can track them down. So, was there anything else? I think we killed it.
Yeah, that's
unless
that's
you got
enough,
something else.
Man.
I think we killed it this
enough.
Month.
Other than one thing that's been, I don't know, it'll get worked out in the next month or something.
It will.
The Producer's Dairy. They tried to knock down these two old buildings to make room for more parking. And
they made a whole big deal of it, and then
it got stopped or at least paused.
So they made a whole big deal about it, and then in the end, they're just like, "You handle it," and they gave it to the mayor.
Yeah. Now the mayor "Well, the mayor deal with it." But I'm impressed that they are at least able to get this stopped because from what I know of it, Producer Dairy back in the day when they built their plant there. The stipulation
and
was,
this is like at on Belmont and
Weber Belmont,
that area,
that whole little area there
between Broadway and
they were allowed to do it on the stipulation that they can't build anymore because it's in a neighborhood.
Yeah,
they probably shouldn't have allowed it in the first place.
Outskirts of a neighborhood.
But it's right there.
They're right there next to the
college. And you got huge 18-wheelers going in and out there on roads they're not supposed to be.
24 hours a day or something.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
And and so they're like, there's this old building that they want to knock down and make more room for themselves.
Right.
And
because they say the building can't be used for what they wanted to use it for. Mm-hmm. So back in the day... they had this building, and what they wanted to do is they were going to start doing ice cream. So this was going to be their kind of ice cream plant, and blah, blah. Well, that didn't end up happening, and so now the building's just sitting there empty, and they're like, we can't. It's pointless for us to have this building, so they just want to tear it down and use it for truck parking or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So there would just be trucks coming through all day long. So the some people from the Tower District Review Committee and some other people, they actually got together and they like did a straight up stand in front of the trucks protest, and they got a couple of the trucks stopped, and then they went to City Hall and they just said, "Hey, look, the producers, you know, they had this agreement with the Tower District Design Committee or whatever back in the day. They need to stick through it." And the council, in all their glory, in this case, maybe rightfully so, was like, "Yep, that sounds about right." And so they passed it along to the mayor, and I think they're hoping that the mayor can kind of finagle some kind of deal out of it, and it'll happen. So I really don't know what's going to happen. It's interesting, you know. I live in that area. I drive by that spot fairly often. I can see sort of both sides to it, you know. I mean, it is in a neighborhood. I think it's on the outskirts of neighborhoods. And so see here, part of the other thing is it is not necessarily the most affluent neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of it too, is the people that live around there are like, "Oh, this always happens to us because we live in a kind of crappy part of town." People just think they can do whatever they want.
Right.
But we also deserve to not have big trucks rambling around all night. So
just
and
because
totally
like
and
that
so.
Yeah, and I that's the best point to make is like there's no way North Fresno if Producer Dairy was in North Fresno neighborhood, they'd be like, "No." And it would be stopped, and it wouldn't be questioned.
It probably wouldn't have ever happened in the first place, because they would be like, "No, we don't want you here. Go down to the tower," which is where they ended up. But so I don't know. We need to follow that one, though, because
we'll keep an eye on it.
That's definitely a good one. I truthfully love that building.
It's a cool old building.
Brick building. It's really great. I don't know if there's anything, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what you can do with it.
There's such a shame about some of these buildings that exist, and it's just like, I love the building. I would love to see it kept. I just don't know what you're going to do with it. So.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are people who have ideas. So they can go ahead and tell me right now, like, it right. could, and then just run down the list.
Figure it out.
It could be, so. All right, is that it?
That's enough, man. Right. Stop to plug it up.
You get to start.
TheFresno.com is where I occasionally blog about Fresno things.
Good stuff. There's always good stuff on there.
Yeah. I've just been not enough lately.
Well, quite That's just how it is.
Frankly, I also started a new blog for some dumbass reason.
Okay.
MikeyTop4.com craft beer blog. Just started it. It's just very in the beginning stages.
Where's that
so
at?
Don't worry about it. MikeyTop4.com.
MikeyTop4.com.
Yeah, come on.
All right.
And then, of course, all the other podcasts that come out of the Dorktown studio, including the comedy show Dorktown. The Harrison Ford show, Get Off My Podcast. And the Craft Beer Geek Show, the weekly Craft Beer Geek Show.
The Perfect Pour.
All those shows can be found in the same way you're listening to this show.
Yeah. If you have found this.
Yeah.
Or you can find those shows.
On the podcast.
And they're all great shows.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. They're all fun.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's enough, Josh. Yeah. Okay. What are you doing?
So I will plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBeehive.com. If you like the stuff that we talk about, much of what we talk about comes from the Fresno Bee.
I got to adjust my bee subscription because I've been digital.
Okay.
And I'm kind of tired of the digital. I want the paper
you
again.
You want the paper too?
I don't even want to read it in the digital anymore. I just want to read the paper.
I'm not even sure there's a paper left.
Yes, there is.
There is.
If I can get, like, if there's a deal where I can get not the digital and the paper and it's a similar price,
then I just want that. There is not.
No, they're just like, you got to get the digital.
I guarantee you there is not.
No, you got to get the digital.
They will charge you more.
Then I want the digital.
You want just the paper, it's going to be $30
more. Yeah, we're
going
to charge you more.
Because we got to bring it to your...
if you take on this digital...
we'll give it to you cheaper, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Fresno Bee. Yeah. So Fresno Bee, FresnoBeeHive.com, that's my day job. I will also plug my various band. I'm in various bands. It'll Grow Back is the main one. We are not playing and have not played for a while, but there's a chance we'll
be still there.
Back.
You're still there.
We're still there. I'm sure the perfect opportunity will present itself.
It's your guitar's birthday today. Happy birthday to Chris.
Yeah, happy birthday, Chris. It is his birthday. And he is 29. No, I have no idea.
29.
He could be 45. I really don't
know. Who knows? He's ageless wonder.
He is. I think he's around the same age as me. So if you know how old I am. Yeah. And then I will also plug a new project that I'm doing. I've plugged several times on this podcast. The Dang It Bobbies. I believe in April we are going to have our first live show happening. There is a local compilation CD that has been put out.
What?
And yeah. And
what's this called?
I don't know what the name of the compilation is, but if you give me 1 second, I'll get you some information on it, and I can tell you about it because I think it's going to be really good. So it is this guy, Mike. He's from Santa Mira is the band. Sleepy Ghost Records is the record label, and he's putting out this local comp, and he is doing a release show. And he asked us to play, and we said, we're not ready to play a show, but we're going to try it anyway. So,
all right.
I'm all about just
experimenting punk.
Well, you have a thing that has to happen, so you have to be ready for it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just going to...
Yeah, it's true. You're just going to go months and months and we're not ready.
No, just set
just
it.
Just do it.
If we're ready, cool.
Throw it out there.
But I'm sure we'll be ready because everyone in the band is good, except for me.
Well, yeah.
It'll be fine. But so that's going to be our first show. You can find the Dang It Bobbies, on Facebook, and we'll have all the information there, I'm sure. or I think it's going to be at Strummer's, but on the bar side, not on the the other side. So it'll be a 21 up and up kind of thing. But it should be free, which is really cool. And let's see. I think that's it. Is there anything else I need to?
That's enough, man.
Oh, you know what? Something that I will talk about, and we'll talk about more next podcast, because it's actually happening in May.
Right.
The Friends of the Library is doing their annual Brews and Vines event at the Woodward Park Library. I believe it's May 10th.
Northeast Fresno,
Josh. I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you go last
year?
Yeah, I did. And it was fun, cool. Right? Yeah.
Cool.
So
nice little event.
Nice little event. So
they had a food malfunction, yeah. I remember.
Well, so way more food this time. We more breweries. Eureka Burger is actually doing, I believe they're doing a whiskey tasting. We have wineries.
Eureka Burger's gonna be there.
So I think I'm excited. I think this year's gonna be a really cool
good
event.
Beer.
So
good beer,
yeah, I mean, last year was great. Very hyper local in terms of the beer tag was there, Full Circle, but then some others, some smaller breweries. And I think that's gonna be the same this time. I haven't seen the full list of breweries that have
I think last year I want to say it's Pine and Palm, and
Pine and Palm was there, and
it's probably Zach's.
I can't remember if they were or not, but yeah. So, you know, we will definitely have a similar lineup. You can go to the Friends, if you just search Friends of the Fresno County Public Library, you can find that, and tickets are available now. And so you can go and get those and show up, and I think you'll have a really good time. It's a cool event. It's for the libraries.
For the libraries,
and
man.
People love libraries. And and drinking, partying in a library.
Drinking in a library. It's
is
fun.
Kind of fun. Yeah. All right, that's it. That's all I got.
All right.
I will count us out then. Yeah.
Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2.